Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Welcome, Law Entrepreneurs, to episode 14 with Larry Port. I'm Neil Tyra, your host for Law Entrepreneur. And today we're speaking with Larry Port, Rocket Matter founder and CEO. Larry is a speaker and award-winning writer at the crossroads of the legal profession, cutting-edge technology, and law firm marketing. He frequently discusses design and efficiency and quality techniques in the software industry that can be leveraged by lawyers and legal professionals. He was named to the 2002 Fast Case 50, honoring the law's smartest, most courageous innovators, techies, visionaries, and leaders. I first met Larry, like a lot of my guests, at a conference a long time ago for Mac Love and Lawyers, Milo Fest, down in Orlando, Florida, that's run by episode 3 guest Victor Medina. And I've been following Larry ever since as he's built Rocket Matter from, you know, its humble beginnings to the one of the preeminent practice management software platforms in the legal industry today. So I'm very pleased to be able to share with you my visit with Larry Port. Hey there, Larry Port. Welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Neil.
And thank you for taking the time to be with me today. Larry, tell us a little bit about Rocket Matter.
Well, Rocket Matter is a legal practice management and time and billing solution for small to mid-sized law firms. We have firms from one attorney all the way up to like around 80 attorneys using our system. And we really focus on helping attorneys run better businesses. That's kind of our core competency. You know, there's a lot of different solutions out there, a lot of different pieces of software. We really focus on helping law firms generate more revenue and increasing their profits. So that's kind of what we do.
Well, I don't know of any attorney who wouldn't like to run their law firm better and increase their profits. So there's a nice match there. Was that always the focus of Rocket Matter? Did you set out to do that in the beginning?
Actually, that's a good question. Not particularly. I mean, we always... So the way that Rocket Matter came to be was that back in the day, you know, I'm a software engineer. I'm not an attorney, right? So, and when you're a software engineer, from what I understand, it's a lot like socially what it's like when you're an attorney. Your friends have issues. They're always asking you questions, right? They're kind of mooching off your knowledge base, right? So one of the recurring themes that I encountered as a software engineer was that like my friends in smaller law offices were having trouble automating their practices and they didn't really have good software. So this is back in 2006, late 2006. And I'm looking around at what was out there at the time. And I see things like Time Matters and PC Law, and no offense to those products, but they are old and they are Windows based and they look like they were end of life then. So I was like, how could this possibly be that there was no cool web-based software? So set out, built Rocket Matter. And initially, to answer your question, it was kind of more focused on organization. It was mostly like matter management, contact management, things like that. And our first law firm, we showed them what we were doing. And they were all excited because they were starting their own firm and they had no money. And they understood that, like, you know, we were going to give it to them for free just to try it. So we get into their office and they're like, okay, so how do we print out a bill? And we were like, okay, well, we don't have that. So I went, and that night I wrote the billing software to generate invoices. And I don't know, kind of hilarious when you think about it. But what we found over the years is that what really differentiates us from our other competitors is the ease of use and the power of the time and billing and the revenue management stuff. So that's becoming increasingly more of our focus and differentiator.
Interesting. Well, just to clue you in, I originally was a software developer who then became an attorney. So,
oh, I love you kind of guys. You guys are interesting.
Well, originally I was a systems engineer, and then we ended up doing software, and then we ended up becoming an attorney. So I can't really figure out what I want to be when I grow up is what I tell people. So now when you started back in 2006, internet or web-based software wasn't really very prevalent at the time, was it?
No. No. Well, I would say not in legal, but Salesforce.com was the big granddaddy of software as a service. And that's kind of where the inspiration for the revenue model was. And I was working at a web-based HR and payroll software company called Ultimate Software in Weston. And before that, I was working on trading systems at Morgan Stanley. So I was building equity trading and futures trading and foreign exchange and all sorts of crazy things. That was all web-based as well. So it had its precedent in certain areas, but it really hadn't made it into very specific niche verticals at that point. So, and in terms of legal, there was almost nothing at all.
Sure.
So the precedent for having secure, sensitive data moving over the web was there, but it was more of general purpose type of stuff like sales automation and, you know, financial kind of software than it was like going after specific verticals. And the financial industry is historically one of the leading industries of technology adoption because the faster you can get to the market, the more ad advantage you have, right? So the financial guys are always trying to look for the latest, craziest ways to get to market.
Well, and when I asked the question about web-based software, certainly there was some, as you have indicated, web-based software available back at the time, but it hadn't reached the level of commoditization that it is now, where the consumer can individually purchase a web-based software as a service package.
Yeah, no, it was for legal consumers at that time, it was challenging because it was not very easy to wade through the options. And I know this for a fact because I tried to put together the pricing for, like when I first did the pricing for Rocket Matter, the way that I did it was I went and I tried to find out how much it would cost and like for Time Matters contracts and Amicus Attorney and things like that. And then there's a very heavy, the distribution models of those softwares relies heavily on a consultant to have it installed for you. So you had to kind of factor in the consulting fees. You had to kind of factor in what you had to purchase in terms of like hardware. It has to be set up in your office. Like you have to set up a SQL server. And most attorneys that I know are like a little bit more, even the technical ones, like really want to focus on their billable time and not want to be setting up servers in their offices and installing all this kind of stuff. So it was very hard to determine how to set something up and just run it. Whereas now you just go to rocketmatter.com or, you know, one of our competitors and you just fill out your information and bam, you have a, you're ready to rock.
You have an account. Yeah, I can tell you firsthand that I had that same experience when I first opened my solo practice in 2006. I was a very committed Apple guy at the time. I started with the original 126K Apple Mac. And so I was looking around way back then for software to help me run my brand new firm. And I went through the same issues looking at Time Matters and Amicus and a couple of others. And it just wasn't there. So when guys like you came along, it was a real boon to those of us who were committed to using at that time Macs in your office. And now it doesn't really matter what your platform is in your office if the service is stored and provided by the internet.
Oh yeah, I have to thank the Mac community because they really got us going. So now I would say that, you know, it's maybe 50-50 if people are using Macs or PC, which is a large percentage of Macs considering their overall adoption in the marketplace. But I mean, so check this out. This is how we first got started. So when we first rolled out, you know, I mean, I think we're one of our differentiators is also our design. So, you know, it's always been that way. We just rolled out a new UI, but when we first rolled out our old UI back in 2008, it really turned some heads. And the Apple fans like appreciate good design. And we also know that Apple people at that time, and this is really 2008 where we first launched, it was still a subculture. The iPhone had been introduced in 2007. There weren't as many Macs walking around like there are now. There was no iPad. There, you know, so it was the attorneys using Macs definitely were a subculture. So they had that kind of binding them together. They had the fact that they appreciate good design. They paid a premium for good design, and they evangelized because they were very enthusiastic within their subculture. So, you know, our first 50, 100 firms were Mac using law firms. And that's what got us the toehold. That's what got us to be able to turn around and say, hey, look, we have a business here. And it was the Mac community.
And in the very beginning, weren't you known as a Mac law management software package?
Yeah. Well, we kind of created that. So because we figured and also we feel very comfortable in that community. A lot of my friends are in that, like Ben Stevens, the Mac lawyer, Victor Medina, who runs Milo Fest, Randy Yipe, Mark Metzger, those kind of guys that are like really actively involved in the Mac community at ABA Tech Show and so on and so forth. And Finnis Price, may he rest in peace.
Yep.
They were all really, and still are, really good friends of mine. And so it just was this kind of like natural attraction. And now, you know, obviously, one of the beautiful things is that you can be a Mac office, you can be a PC office, you can be in transition. And if you're running a software as a service platform like Rocket Matter, you're golden. You can even use Chromebooks if you want, which is great.
Right. So we've talked about what motivated you to develop your product, Rocket Matter. It was a friend's beating on you and telling you that this was an opportunity that you could fill, and you certainly have done so. How successful has that been for you and Rocket Matter?
Oh, it's been amazing. I mean, it's
how big is Rocket Matter, if you care to disclose, and what's the size of your customer base?
Sure. Well, I can't give like a lot of that stuff. We're a private company, is kind of sensitive.
Sure.
And, you know, I prefer to give accurate numbers and not inflate them like some people in the marketplace might do. But I will say this is that we have, you know, about 35 employees right now. And they're spread out among the marketing team, the sales team, the product and engineering team, and our, you know, customer support and customer success teams. We have the number of firms that we have is in the multiple thousands. And then we have many more times that in terms of users, but I can't really give out specifics.
No, that's fine. I just wanted our audience to have a sense of the scope of how well Rocket Matter has done and how widely it's been adopted in the marketplace.
Oh yeah. Some of the cooler statistics is that like when we look at like the amount of money that's being flowing through Rocket Matter, some of those numbers are really interesting to me, which is that because, you know, we're allowed to look at per our terms of service, like kind of anonymous usage data just to see how the app is being used.
Sure.
And one of the things that we did last year is we ran an analysis of, okay, you send out invoices in Rocket Matter, and then your law firm records the payment that was received. So we wanted to see, okay, how much has been received in Rocket Matter like forever? And we came up with this number. It was like $1.5 billion. And we weren't able to, and it's probably much higher than that, because when every law firm in our system gets their own database. And when they leave or go out of business or whatever, we destroy that database. So we weren't able to query everything. And we didn't think to capture that as metadata either. So like we were really blown away when we saw that we had all this money flowing through the system. And it's something like to the tune of $40 to $50 million every month. So Rocket Matter attorneys are doing a good job of making some cash.
That's pretty spectacular. Well, before we get into the position of just yakking about software forever and ever, let's go back to the individual contemplating opening a solo practice. What's the best thing that Rocket Matter can provide that individual who's considering opening a new practice? I mean, it's kind of like I'm kind of asking you to pick what's your favorite child, you know? But what part do you think would most Rocket Matter would most benefit somebody going into solo practice?
That's a good question, because I know for a fact that when people evaluate the software, what they're evaluating, like a lot of the things that attract them to actually pull the trigger and go with us, is the fact that it's an all-in-one solution. And then when we look at people that are a year out, what we find is that the firms that are most successful with the product are the firms that are like very business-minded about how they use Rocket Matter. And so, and these are people kind of like all focusing on the numbers. So I would say use Rocket Matter to focus on your numbers and to make sure that your billing goes out at regular intervals as close to the work that you perform. They should definitely take advantage of. So I think one of the advantages of the system is that it's very easy to do time capture and then invoice. So that's been a huge deal, because we get these firms in the door that at the end of the month, they look through their calendars and their legal pads, and they do this like reconstitution of their month and billable time format, and they just hemorrhage time, lose it left and right. And then they type up a Word document invoice, and it takes them 2 days. So we literally have firms that go from 2 days to 30 minutes in terms of their invoicing, because they're capturing as they work. And then they do batch billing, so that sends out all their invoicing. And then the next thing I think that is good is the focus on the collections that we've just rolled out. Because that's like, we did a really good job of time capture and invoicing. Now we're focusing on getting in that money sooner through collections. So being able to accept credit cards or, you know, direct payments from a bank, those are really powerful things. So I think that law firms need to understand cash flow. And once they understand cash flow, then a lot of the other problems go away. So that would be the first thing I would think about.
Well, it's interesting, because I know, for instance, back when I was contemplating what platforms I was going to use, you had separate platforms for different functions in the office. So there would be one platform for accounting, running your operating account and your IOLTA trust account, and then a different package to do billing, and a third package to do time capturing, and you tried to glue them all together in some fashion or another. And what I'm hearing you say is Rocket Matter now has evolved to make that a seamless end-to-end capability.
Yeah, I mean, we want to go as end-to-end as we possibly can. Now, I guess part of the power of the time and billing in our platform, to be fair, is some of the all-in-one stuff. Because every time you upload a document or do a task or a calendar event or do a phone message or whatever it is, you're prompted to add time. So, you know, the time capture is kind of baked into the overall workflow of an attorney's day. And in terms of like end-to-end stuff, like that's a direction we're really trying to steer towards, is like full automation of the law office and making things as easy as possible. And like, you know, we have this intake product too, where you can put together a form that goes on your website. And people can fill that out. It can be their hidden page, like, so you just can just give it to them on an iPad or send them a link before they come in. Or it could be external so that everybody could see it, depending on the type of practice you have. That data gets captured by the intake form, goes into Rocket Matter, and creates a matter that's marked as a potential client. At that point, if you close the deal with that client, then they become a regular client, and then you can start time and billing and invoicing, and then you collect payments. So we're going all the way from the first initial touch to the collections part. And so that whole complete flow, and along the way being the automate document creation and all the other things that we do, that's where we're at. So we're at this kind of like really full end-to-end. Now, not all of our law firms clearly leverage all those things, but that said, you could do it if you wanted to.
Well, that brings me to my next question. Whereas previously I was asking you to pick, you know, who's your best child, your favorite child. I'm going to ask you now to identify which is the most underappreciated child of yours. So which feature of Rocket Matter do you think that solo practitioners and maybe law firms in general should pay more attention to or haven't exactly realized all the potential that it has?
The thing that people, I think, are not using the way they should is the credit card processing, I think. Because I think really focusing on those collections is still underutilized. And I think that's where people can probably make the most gains to their cash flow. I will tell you that if we're talking about children, the one child that I like the least, which may sound a little shocking to you, I'm curious to hear your reaction to this, a lot of people talk about the importance of having a client portal. People ask about having a client portal, want the client portal. No one uses the client portal. We maybe have 10% adoption of our client portal. And I don't know, it's just one of those things that everybody seems to talk about and think is a good idea, but then never uses.
Well, it's interesting that you do say that, because in the conversations I've had with some attorneys who are using, frankly, a competitor of yours, I've asked them specifically about the client portal, and only one has said, yeah, that's the whole reason we got it, because we want our clients to be able to access their own documents, to, you know, see their billing as it accrues and do all of those things that the portal allows them. And the rest of them said, yeah, that wasn't all that important to us.
You know, it's one of those things where I think it was trendy for a while and it kind of got into the ether, and then it just proved to not be that awesome of a feature.
Well, I think also it might appeal to attorneys who are setting their practice up specifically with that in mind. And, you know, that's the one thing they're looking for. And the perfect example, our guest, Nakia Gray, I hope she's listening to this today, she has a virtual practice. And so her entire practice is virtual, and she doesn't want, well, it's not that she doesn't want, but she's specifically set it up so that the client communicates with her through that portal and only through that portal.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And for sure, that's the case. And there's a lot of things about our portal that I really like the ability to share documents securely as opposed to sending them through email. That's great. But, you know, I just don't know. I'm at a loss to why it was requested so much and not so heavily adopted. I mean, I personally don't like using portals, but, you know, I don't like using my accountant's portal or whatever. I just prefer that she Dropbox me or box me something. But maybe that's where it is. Maybe people just want to use the industry standard tools for that kind of thing. Who knows?
Well, I'm surprised by that, because some of the pushbacks that you do get from attorneys is they're, in my humble opinion, they're overly concerned about security of their documents.
Yeah, it's like 50-50. Some people just, for some reason, do not care at all. The other people are like super freaked out about it. And you think because of the client confidentiality thing, they would be really freaked out about it. But at the same time, people, like, I can't believe the stuff that people have sent me over clear text email. Like, just absolutely crazy what people send me over email. And people don't even think twice about sending, like, sensitive stuff over email. So it is curious. Yeah. Hey, by the way, Neil, I wanted to maybe share a little kind of piece of industry information that I have gained through doing all this kind of thing that you may and your listeners may find kind of interesting.
Absolutely.
So apparently, and you were mentioning that how, like, the applications used to be divided.
Yep.
Especially between practice management and time and billing. Those two things used to be, like, separate applications.
Absolutely. All right.
So apparently, the reason why that is because you're selling to two different audiences. When in a lot of these times, remember, a lot of these older applications are not built for solos, or, you know, the economics didn't work for solos, so they didn't even think about them. So historically, like, the reason that you have, like, maybe Tabs 3 and Practice Master as, like, separate kind of items is that, or time matters and billing matters or whatever have you, is that you would sell to the back office people and you would sell to the front office people separately. And so it's as simple as that. That's kind of the reason. It was an economic one. And to be quite honest, you know, by bundling everything at once, it can be a little bit harder for us. You know, for the smaller law firms, I think they really appreciate that. But when we get up into the, like, 15-person law firm, now we have to make the back office people, who can be, let's face it, a little cranky sometimes, happy, and the law firms happy. So we'll go into situations where the lawyers absolutely love us. They love, they're on their iPads, they're on their iPhones, they're, like, you know, doing everything good. But then the cranky people in the back office, like, you know, don't have what they want to see. So
how come I can't slice and dice this data in infinite ways?
Right. So you just have more people that has to say yes when you sell things the way we sell it. But we like what we're doing, and we have no intention of breaking it up. And it's so tightly integrated, it just makes sense to us.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things, or frankly, that's the overriding appeal to me to a service, a platform such as yours, is the end-to-end nature of it and the fact that it's all in one piece. Because I'm looking at my laptop here, and I'm still operating with three different pieces of software.
Yeah.
So it... Even as they've matured to the point where I get a lot of value out of them, I'm still I'm still not integrated and like the way I would like to be. For solos, obviously, one of the things that is most important to them, certainly when they're starting out, when we're starting out, is saving money. We don't have a lot of money to spend. And how does your product help the solo reduce his operating costs?
That's a good question. And we're kind of keenly aware of that. So first of all, our product is not very expensive. You know, it's $65 a month. And you know, I think some people like think that's too expensive. But I think if you have the mindset that a product that's as powerful as ours is too expensive, then you're probably not going to do well in your business. Because it's not a lot of money, and it's so incredibly powerful.
I'm sorry, Larry, did you say $65 a month?
Yes, that's correct, for the first user. And there's always discounts for like state bar associations if you're, you know, part of them or whatever. The additional user is $55 a month.
I gotta tell you, it's less than my bar bill.
Yeah, I mean, it's so inexpensive.
Yeah.
And
so I'm shocked that you're getting pushback on price.
Well, I think when people do push back on price, like, first of all, they're not a good fit for us because they don't understand the value of the product.
Yeah.
And second of all, I think people who think that $65 a month, you know, which is, you know, probably far less than, hopefully far less than like one billable hour for them, you know, I think that they don't have the right mentality of their business in general, and they will not succeed most likely. So, but I think the biggest thing is that you'll be able to save a lot of money because you're going to have a lot of things automated, and you're not going to need humans to do a lot of that stuff. So like sending out invoices is a pretty easy operation at Rocket Matter. Tracking your time is an easy operation. Like, so all those kind of things that traditionally you have to pay people for, you know, you don't necessarily need to pay people for those. That said, I think it's a good idea for solo practitioners to have some help.
Sure.
You know, doing the pure solo thing and even like a solo with an assistant thing, I think it's almost an impossible job because you're expected to like drum up your own business, you know, market, then close that business, which is not easy. You're supposed to handle all the time and billing, and that's where we come in, you know, all that type of stuff. You're supposed to collect, which we're trying to make easy now too, but is, let's face it, collecting as a lawyer, collecting on somebody that you're trying to help, all these things are very tricky to do. And then on top of it, you're supposed to serve your client. And you're supposed to do this in a way that you don't make any mistakes. You don't get disbarred. The opposing counsel is like nagging you. The judge is nagging you of all these different responsibilities. What the solo attorney is asked to do is like a very, very, very difficult thing. So the more you can automate and the more that you don't have to think about, so you can actually have to make the decisions that like matter in people's lives, the better off you are.
No, I think that's a perfect answer to that issue. We had Pat Yeviks on our show not too long ago, and she's the director of the practice management group for the Maryland Bar Association. And she said, when I asked her what's the three things that a solo attorney needs the most, the number one thing that she said was they need a good bookkeeper.
That's a great one.
That was number one. Was a good bookkeeper. Now, what I'm getting from you is that Rocket Matters doesn't eliminate the need for maintaining your checking account, your operating account, and your IOLTA account. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. So the way it works is that Rocket Matter, like you can't cut a check from Rocket Matter, you can't run payroll from it. And if, you know, so this is how far it goes, right? You track your time, you create your invoices, you accept and record payments into Rocket Matter. You can either do that with the credit card processing, or if you receive a check, you just type in the information. You can maintain your trust account, right? And what do you call it?
Reconcile.
Why am I losing? Okay, there we go. Yeah, it has trust account reconciliation. So it's very easy to manage your trust account in Rocket Matter. And so it does all those kind of things for you. But it's very helpful to work with a bookkeeper or an outsourced bookkeeping company to help you with that. Actually, when I was in Massachusetts, there was a very interesting, like, you know, we call ourselves software as a service. I don't know if this is the technical name, but it looked like a business process as a service. It was this like company that does bookkeeping for businesses. You know, you just hire them out, they do your bookkeeping for you.
Yeah.
So that seems like a viable option, just like the way Ruby Receptionist can outsource the receptionist for law firms.
Yeah.
Like there's ways that solos can like leverage these like resources without having to take on like payroll expenses. So those are certainly things that I would also take a look at.
Exactly. Well, we've talked almost exclusively here about the money end of Rocket Matter. Talk just briefly a little bit about the management of the client data, conflict checking, case management.
Sure. Okay. So the way Rocket Matter works is it's really designed to be kind of like a modern application, and a lot of influence was drawn from things like Wikipedia or Internet Movie Database. So, matters each have their own dashboard page in Rocket Matter, and each matter has the client listed. It has all the related contacts listed, like who the judge is, opposing counsel, so on and so forth. And you can click on those, and then you get taken to a contact or client dashboard where you see everything about that client and all the cases related to them, and so on and so forth. So matters can have documents associated with them. They can have emails associated with them through our Outlook integration or with, IMAP integration as well. So if you're not using Outlook, there's other ways to get emails associated with it. Notes, tasks, calendar events, all can be associated with matters. So any of those items can have billable time associated with them as well so that they can end up on that matter invoice. It's very easy to use, very easy to navigate around. A lot of attorneys like our tasks. In the case of a true solo, it's nice to have tasks, but it's even more effective when you have multiple users because you can assign them to people, and put due dates on them and track them over time. Your calendar events, they can sync with Google Calendar or whatever, and you can add those can be funneled into your invoices. They can be associated with matters. So really, what we try and do is we try and make the data entry really easy and the views really easy in Rocket Matter. And by having that happen, then what we try and do is give attorneys the intelligence to examine where they are in their cases and everything else in the system. So we do a lot of heavy duty reporting about not just the financial side of things, but also like where people are in their cases and who's bringing in what business and so on and so forth.
Well, that's really encouraging. And I'm looking forward to having the opportunity to play with the software some more going forward. Larry, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today on The Law Entrepreneur. And I'd like to, if I could, invite you to come back because I'd like to pick your brain a little bit about your own business development.
Sure.
Because you went to school probably to learn something other than how to build a business.
Right.
And now you've built the business. So that entrepreneurial task set and the things that the challenges that you faced and overcome, something I'd love to get into a little further with you if you'd be willing to come on back.
Oh, I love talking about that kind of stuff. And before we go, I just want to get on my soapbox a little bit about something related to what you're talking about. Okay. Yeah. So I have real issue that law schools do not teach business to attorneys.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. Preach on.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because and look, there are some, we're working with some law schools right now that are very forward thinking. I don't want to call anybody out because I don't want to forget other people, but there are a lot of deans and individual professors in those law schools that are trying to affect change there. But here's why this upsets me. These schools know that approximately 8 or 9 out of 10 students is going to end up in a law firm that has 25 total people or less. The odds of somebody graduating law school and ending up in a small business are 80 to 90%.
Right.
And they don't teach business. And that pisses me off. So excuse my language, but I think that we have a responsibility here to help our firms learn to run a business. And so, that's why we publish so much stuff on our legal productivity blog about how to run a business. And like even the reports in Rocket Matter are written for people that have not been trained in business. So like our aged accounts receivable report is called I Want to See What My Firm Is Owed. So all the analytics in our software are written from the perspective of somebody who has not been trained in business.
I think it's spot on. And I'm going to take it, ratchet it up a notch. My concern along these lines was largely as a result of making a whole bunch of mistakes and learning the hard way. I was lucky enough to have started a business before going to law school. So I learned a lot of mistakes there that I didn't repeat when I opened my law firm. But still, even with that knowledge, I still after I opened my law firm, I still made a bunch of mistakes that we're documenting here on The Law Entrepreneur. And part of the reason, most of the reason for doing this podcast is to overcome that issue. But, you know, when we had the crisis in the economy and the downturn,
right,
there's so many of the big firms cut their staff. So all those attorneys then went down to middle-level firms, and it was a cascading effect. So what it meant was those kids coming out, I say kids because they're way younger than I am now, those young folks coming out of law schools, unless they were in the top one half of 1% of their graduating class, they had very little chance of even getting a job.
No, yeah. And so they were entrepreneurs by what do you call that?
By necessity.
By force. Necessity.
And if they had any hope of practicing, and this I think is still true today, if you have any hope of practicing law, your best bet, and maybe your only bet, is to take a shot at hanging out your own shingle. And you can start off in your parents' garage or basement, that's fine, but you still need to know how to run the business side of your law practice. And that's what we're hoping to address on this podcast. And clearly it's an itch that you're scratching with Rocket Matter. I love naming the aged receivables report. I want to see who owes me money.
Exactly. And here's the other thing is that, like, it's not like what you're doing is not important. I mean, you guys are helping people through the most difficult episodes of their lives. The criminal defense guys are defending the Constitution on a daily basis. I mean, like, and there's no room for error. Like, you guys screw up, you know?
Yeah. Screw up bad enough, and you've lost that license that you've paid, $300,000 to acquire.
It's just wrong. Yeah. So, we're trying to do what we can to kind of make the lives easier and do what we like to do. I tell you what, and it makes it a lot easier to go to work knowing you're doing that than just saying I'm going to go schlep legal software.
Right.
You know.
Right. Well, let's get back together again and let's talk about changing the world.
Let's do it
through your entrepreneurial skills. Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you so much today,
Larry. Thanks ever so much. I appreciate your time. Well, there you have it, fellow law entrepreneurs. Thank you for listening and being a part of today's program. The utmost compliment you could pay me is to go over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, and leave a strong 5-star review if you think the podcast and what we're trying to do here is worthwhile. Feel free to share the link to the podcast with your friends, family, and coworkers. I would be very appreciative if you did. So until next time, thanks again for listening to The Law Entrepreneur.